Hey, and welcome to a new episode of Australian Jams, a new music podcast. Very excited to have this guest here today because I've worked with this guest, I'm not giving it away, on a project just recently, actually. She's a photographer and a really amazing photographer. And just a little note on my experience is that we kind of took her out of her comfort zone a little bit in terms of style and genre, I guess, and she absolutely nailed it, so it's really exciting. So I'm really happy to be introducing Michelle Grace Hunder, photographer extraordinaire. Tell us a little bit about yourself that's not weird coming from me.
Or weird coming from myself when you're talking about yourself. Yeah, so I'm a professional music photographer. I've been working predominantly in the music industry for about 8 years now, which is super exciting. I guess for the probably first 5 years or so, I was more well known for my work in the hip hop scene.
Yep.
I self-published a book called Rise in 2014, which was a photo documentary on Australian hip hop.
So, and which I found out the other day was crowdfunded.
It was crowdfunded, yeah, yes. Which is amazing. Yeah, we raised over $20,000 to get the actual physical printing of the book, which is a very interesting and stressful process. But yeah, it's so funny when I decided to do, I'm doing a book, and then I'd done all these shoots and stuff and then realized that's actually really expensive. I'm a starving artist over here. Like, I don't have 20 grand just to lay on a book. So yeah, did crowdfund that, and it was really exceptionally supported by the hip hop scene, which was really awesome.
Yeah.
And yeah, since then I've been, I've definitely moved into, I guess, a wider space within, the music industry and definitely working outside, hip hop as well. And have been working on a project for the last 3 years called Her Sound, Her Story.
Yes.
And that's on, women in Australian music, both portraits and a documentary.
Yep.
So that's been a really, a really awesome project and also a big, kind of self-discovery and growing process myself, because I've kind of worked predominantly with men my whole life, which is why, you know, I love hip-hop and naturally gravitated towards genres that were kind of male dominated, I guess, because I'm very comfortable working with men. So really pushed myself outside my comfort zone and to not only love working with women but just love being around women in general now, like really be comfortable and love being and surrounded by women, which is for me pretty awesome, and it's just taken a long time for me to get really comfortable with that. So it's been a super cool process.
Yeah, and the billboards and stuff have been amazing around Melbourne.
Yeah, so there's a billboard campaign happening at the moment, which the Bakehouse is supporting. It's which is incredible. So every 3 weeks, two new photos go up out the front of the Bakehouse, which are portraits that I've taken throughout the 3 years. So that's super exciting. And first of all, to see like your work that big.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
It's pretty amazing. So,
but like just being one of those artists who's, they're not small local artists, but they're still local artists.
Yeah.
Seeing themselves on a big billboard like that.
And it's super cool because we always do, like when they get pasted up, we always go there with the girls and try and take a photo, and seeing their reaction when they see themselves that big is so cool. They're about 4 meters wide or something, like they're huge.
Yeah.
So it's all super cute to see that as well.
That's so sick.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, on that, let's kick off the songs. Hey, and I'm just going to apologize for my voice throughout this. I'm sorry. It's been a long week. but we'll go with your first song, Michelle. Which one do you want to kick off with?
Yeah, I think I'll kick off with Rule, Golden Years. It's the M Phases remix. So there's been a re-release of this track. An artist... actually, both artists very close to my heart. I've known M Phases for an incredibly long time. He's one of the first people I knew within the Australian hip hop scene. And
he was in the book, wasn't he?
He was in the book. Yes. He's actually, honestly, very instrumental in the book happening, because when I did my shoot with him, at that stage, I've probably only done maybe a handful of shoots when I met him and he agreed to be what was then a portrait series. And I said, oh, look, I think this would be really cool if it was a book. And he introduced me to his manager, Nate Flagrant, who basically opened up his contact list for me and said, who do you want? Like, I'll just introduce you to whoever you want. And then Nate actually ended up being, like, I guess kind of like a project partner. He became, he's a distributor of my book and was very much there for me in all of the pivotal points to just to give me advice or just to see how I was going. And that relationship is very, or both those relationships are really special and important to me. And they've actually just started recently working with this artist Rule, or actually not recently, over the last 2 years, Rule's 15, an absolutely incredible talent. He's just signed to RCA internationally, wow, which is super exciting. But I just went to Japan with him. So he just did his first massive festival called Pop Spring in Japan. So they took me along as the photographer/videographer for the tour. And we're just in Japan for a week. And
that's so awesome.
Just, I haven't been to Japan before. So that in itself was amazing. And then just being there with Rule and, it's quite incredible to watch his development over the past couple of years. And, you know, I saw him from one of his first ever live performances with, 50 people in a room, and he just keeps growing and just taking it in his stride. And he just performed to 5,000 people. It's just like,
that's nuts.
It's crazy to see how he was just born to do this.
Yeah.
Like, it's very hard to explain. Like, he's not being pushed in, like, he's just born to do this.
Yeah.
Like, it's quite beautiful to watch.
He's
so,
like the Australian Justin Bieber.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a pretty fair comparison. He's incredibly talented.
Yep.
His first song, Don't Tell Me, he wrote when he was 12, which just blows me away. his EP is coming out really soon. It's very, very exciting.
Yeah.
So
I've said this the past two episodes, but I'm not a big hip hop fan in general.
Yep.
Not that I don't like it. It's just, it's not the first genre I go to listen to, but, this one, hip hop and kind of, you get what I mean?
Yeah.
But I listened to the remix and it automatically made me want to hear what the original song sounded like.
Yeah.
So I was kind of listening to them back to back for a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting the way you hear the influence of the remixer coming through while still, like, giving credit to what the original song was. It doesn't completely dismantle it.
No, and I think, if I'm correct, I actually think M-Phases did the original and did the remix as well. But M-Phases being, I guess, I mean, they're both very pop-sounding songs, but M-Phases' roots are in hip-hop. So there's definitely, I remember we were in a meeting in Japan with, I think it was Apple Music, and one of the guys were commenting on the sound of the drums that M-Phases, that he's like, it's a very hip-hop sounding drum. And Nate was just saying, well, that's because his roots are in hip-hop.
Yeah.
The stuff that he loves and was listening to, you know, his whole entire career up until quite recently was all hip-hop. And he's definitely now moved into a more pop mainstream kind of sound.
Yeah.
Just for his own career development. It's definitely interesting to see that. So, but the remix is such a great flip. You're right. It keeps a lot of the original kind of vibe, but then there's this new kind of flip to it, which is super cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, some remixes nail it and there are a lot that just don't.
Just don't. They're and just this like, one, whoa.
Yeah. And this one really did just nail it.
Yeah.
Like, and then there are some remixes that just end up sounding like a cover song.
Yeah.
It's cool when you hear something like this, especially from kind of artists that you've never really listened to in the past. So it's really fascinating.
Well, I'm glad that you got to, you know, experience that. I'm like telling everybody about Rule at the moment. Like, you know, even if I'm working with different artists, I'm like, there's this kid. I mean, not that he needs it. I think his first single has had close to 10 million streams already.
That's nuts.
Oh, it's like...
You're 15.
I know. So, and but the thing is, like, he's just handling it with such maturity and
this
is what I'm doing now, you know?
As soon as you sent it to me, I was like, I've heard of this guy before. Then I realized it was because of your Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going, listen to this kid. Yeah. He's amazing. Definitely.
Well, now you get a chance to listen to this kid. We're going to play a little bit of Golden Years by Rule, but the M-Phases remix.
Searching, but all we ever need is today. All we see in miracles, only if you look at it.
We're back. I've had a drink of water, so hopefully my voice lasts a little bit longer this time. I've chosen Vancouver Sleep Clinic's Through the Night as my first song for today.
Great.
A couple of episodes ago with Danielle Smorelli, I spoke about their song Closure, which was kind of their his first song back from a little bit of time off, I think, or a little bit of time touring. And then this one is the first song in the EP that's just been released. I've been listening to EP nonstop since it came out, honestly. I even, like, maybe, definitely, tweeted from the work Twitter account being like, we're listening to Vancouver Sleep Clinic all day! And that went down well. But
fantastic. How did you originally get onto them? Or he, is it him? Is he a soloist?
I think he's... I thought it was three of them, but it seems like it's just one of them now. Okay. They kind of were in that group with Mountains, who were one of my favourite bands.
Okay.
And they're both bands that kind of do stuff and then go away for a while
yeah,
and then
yeah.
do stuff again. And they do fit genre-wise. And I think Tom from Mountains actually plays in the band when they tour. Okay.
Yeah, cool.
I may be wrong about that, but I'm fairly sure. So as soon as I saw that there was more stuff after the single Closure came out, I was like, listening. And this song is just really beautiful.
Yeah.
And the way it moves through it. Yeah, and I think I said this last time, so sorry for repeating myself, but down-tempo electro can be really boring really easily if you don't do it really, really well.
Yeah.
And I think this is an example of doing it really, really well.
How amazing. Yeah. Well, I would love to listen to the whole EP, that's for sure. I checked out the song, but I'll have to listen to more.
Yeah, it's like stuff. I just couldn't. I wish it was a full album.
Yeah.
Like, for an EP, it's got quite a few songs, so that's nice, but yeah, Mountains as well. Like, release more music, please.
It's really great for me too because I think too because I've got a radio show and I'm like listening specifically in the hip hop genre because that's what my radio show is and I gravitate towards that. A lot of the stuff I listen to is just hip hop.
Yeah,
it feels like it's so work related and stuff. So it's great to get. Yeah, stuff that just you just go, oh, cool. Like, I love all music. Like, it's very, very rare that I don't like a particular genre or anything like that. It's like songs that really impact me that I'll just love.
Yeah.
So it's great to get new recommendations and stuff, especially Australian music as well.
Yeah. I adore Vancouver Sleep Clinic, and I harp on this a lot, and everyone knows this, but artwork is super important to me. And imagine as a photographer, the visuals are huge for you as well.
It's so important to me to, I mean, it's, I guess the most important thing about my job is to really connect with the artist and understand why they want a particular visual representation.
Yeah.
I guess you'll know from the communication that we have, like if I have concerns that I won't be able to meet something, I'll definitely raise that or think that, okay, cool, we can have a crack at this and see how we go. Because for me, this is, I have to remove my ego out of this. Like, it's not about me at all. It's about delivering for the artist.
Yep.
So if I don't think that I can personally deliver, then I would be saying, I think it's, you know, you need to go to someone else or whatever. Or no, I think I can totally nail that. Let's do this. Because the visual representation is everything. It's like people are still gravitated towards iconic photography, like whether it's in Beat magazine or whether it's on Spotify, you know, it goes back, I think, because I'm, you know, as a kid from the 90s and would look through CD covers and even vinyl back then still, but you always pick up stuff that's visually appealing.
Yeah, 100%.
So it is important to nail that for an artist.
Yeah, even when you're like trawling through things like Triple J Unearthed and whatever, what's going to make you click on a new artist that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
It's usually going to be the image. If your image is poor, people will just scroll right through. You could have the best music in the world.
Yeah, it's true. It's and I do, like, I definitely try to communicate that as much as possible, even though it sounds like it's self-serving to myself. Like,
no,
it's you need really great photos.
Yeah.
But, it is. Yeah, it is. Really, and I've heard that so many times from publicists and, you know, people that are the first people to listen to the music. So it is obviously very relevant.
Yeah. So that's something that I think Vancouver Sleep Clinic have done really well, not only in the past with their previous releases, but this EP and the single artwork, it's kind of branded and thematic through the singles, but obviously specific to each single. And then the EP artwork is quite interesting as well. So that obviously helps. But yeah, the music is flipping awesome.
Great.
and I think we should just listen to a bit of it now rather than listen to my croaky voice. This is a bit of Through the Night by Vancouver Sleep Clinic. I don't need the cry toll, I don't need the snide toll. All I hear is God and the ticking in the clock. While I don't need the cry toll, I don't need the snide toll. All I hear is God and the ticking of the clock. While I don't need the cry toll, I don't need the snide toll. It's God ticking in the clock. If I make it through tonight, next song, Michelle?
So the second song I chose was the new single by Camouflage Rose,
yes.
Wildflower.
Yes.
So Sosie and I played this on our radio show last week, and I was really blown away. I was a big fan of the late night song that Camouflage Rose released. It must have been, would have been a while ago now. I'm going to say it's definitely over 6 months, and it mm-hmm. probably could be even towards, you know, 8 or 9 months, but it obviously did really, really well. It was played a lot on Triple J. You just would hear it all the time. But this one, I think, is resonating with me more.
Yeah.
Like, I really, there's something about it that I really dig. I think he's a really interesting artist. I know he's African-born. I can't remember exactly which part of Africa. But lives in Australia now, and I met him at the Sprung Festival, which I was okay. shooting a little while ago. And he's just like just a ball of energy and big smiles, and you know, just has this really great stage presence. And it's really great to hear another single from, and it's such a strong single from him as yeah. well. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what he does in the future. Like, I think it's going to be yeah, definitely an artist to watch for sure.
Yeah, I found there were so many different parts of this song that kept it, like, really, kept you on your toes while you're listening. Like, you can't sit and just be like, okay, I get this now.
Yeah.
Because then it changes.
Yeah, totally.
And sometimes that can be really unsettling, but here it was just, like, just kept you engaged the yeah. whole time. And I find that really fascinating that an artist can be so confident in what they're doing that they can just keep moving it and yeah. not feel like they have to settle on something yeah. in the middle of a song.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the younger artists in the kind of hip-hop, even though this is not classical or traditional hip-hop, it's definitely in the genre, though, just being really experimental at this stage. Like, yeah. I'm seeing that from a lot of younger artists. They're just feeling really comfortable to really push boundaries and, yeah, just to see where those sounds go. And, yeah, I'm really, really, really digging this artist for sure.
Yeah, and the production underneath it was super cool as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's have a listen to Camouflage Rose, Wildflowers. Let's go, like wildflowers. Let's go, baby, let's go. Till we lose our control. Let's go, baby, let's go. Hey, I'm just going to interrupt just for a moment here to give a shout out to Australian Jam's new sponsor, Yamaha Audio Australia. The team there has been wonderful, and they've very kindly given me an AG06 audio interface to record with. It's been incredible to record with, and obviously editing and sound quality is much easier and better because of this little device that I am still learning to use, but it's amazing. Anyone that knows me knows that I am not particularly accomplished when it comes to technology and things like that, but this interface has actually been incredible to use, and I'm really excited to keep playing with it and learning. So Yamaha Audio Australia and their team, thanks so much, and they're really great at supporting local Australian artists, so shout out to them. My second song for this episode is by East. She's come off at quite a strange year, maybe would be the word. She kind of disappeared for a while, then came out with Life Goes On, got it into the Hottest 100, did...
Such a jam, that song. Yeah. Beautiful song.
Did the song with Alice Ivy. She's done a few things, but she kind of... her prominence wasn't like it was before. I don't know how to explain it properly.
Yeah,
but
she kind of just disappeared for a little while. Yeah. Like, yeah, I guess from the, you're right, because she was there, but then she kind of wasn't. It was definitely a weird, that was a good description.
Yeah, and like she's amazing and she's grown in what she's really good at from that first EP and things like that. So now she's released this song Blowjob, which was obviously quite a vulnerable song.
Yep.
And I think that's how she described it when she released it, was that it was her kind of opening herself up completely, and it's really nerve-wracking as a young woman to do that on such a big scale.
Yeah.
But it's such a good song.
Yeah. She's very, very talented.
It's amazing. Like, her voice is really interesting, and then she's got that production vibe to it that is her brand, and it doesn't make every song sound the same, but you can tell it's her.
It's her, yeah. She is such an interesting artist. I first came across her, God, it must have been about maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So Mall Rat was performing at Come Together, and she got up and they did a song together, and she blew me away.
Yeah.
I was just like, who is this girl? Like, this, she's incredible. She just, I felt at that stage, stole the show. Like, she was really incredible. And then I ended up working with her for her Sound Her Story a little while ago and meeting her, and she's just such an awesome chick, like really great and down to earth and super cool. And the same as you, was just like, I think wanting new music from her because I just loved everything that I heard. So super excited that she's released this new song, and it seems to be, everything that I've seen has been really positive, which is great.
Yeah. And like, she's, I think, her songwriting has grown to a point where she can be a lot more confident at putting herself out there. Like, not that her first EP wasn't genuine, but this feels like it's coming from maybe a deeper place, this and Life Goes On.
It's a bit of maturity, I think, too. It's like, she's still so young.
Yeah.
Like, and would she be 20, maybe 21 or something?
Probably she's about
that. Yeah, I mean, all those Mall Rats the same. They're like really young.
It's not.
Young girls, but so talented. I mean, I don't want to sound condescending when I say young at all, because it's so impressive with their maturity in the stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
And I think, don't quote me on this, but I think she may have had some, like, issues with her team early last year as well. So that would have thrown her for a bit of a loop. And then, to come out and just bang, bang, two incredible songs.
Yeah.
Massive tour with Alice Ivy as well. Like, she's such a legend, and I just want to give her props, really. That's pretty much, other than too, it being like, a great song. Yeah.
Even with Alice, like, when you name those girls, just there's such a good crop of young girls coming through at the moment, and what I'm loving to see is how supportive they are of each other.
Yes.
I think that's definitely something that came through making the documentary, and the difference between perhaps in the 90s or, you know, kind of earlier even, was that because there was such little space for women, it created a lot of competition.
Yep.
And I feel like if anything has progressed, that's progressed.
Yeah, definitely.
I definitely don't sense that with these girls now. It's like there's a real camaraderie, just strength in numbers. They're all really good mates, which is really, it's just so awesome to see, because I feel like that competition thing is actually bullshit. Like that's created to even create more of a divide between us. And it's like, if you stick together, it's strength in numbers thing, man. It's like so powerful.
100%. Cause then you can throw people like Eilish Gilligan, Greta Ray, Woods, all those sort of artists in there who are just all trying to boost each other up at the same time.
Bats, Angie McMahon, like they're all those girls are all like really great friends, and
they're all ridiculously talented
Beck
as well.
Bex Sandridge, Alex Leahy, like you just can name so many incredible young artists that are all similar ages and stuff, and you're like, my God, this is such a great time for, I guess that's why I get so frustrated too with the whole festival lineup stuff.
Yeah.
Like it actually infuriates me, and I'm, you know, if anything ever happens, you'll see my Twitter blog because I start F words. It just makes me really angry.
Yeah.
There is that excuse that there's no female talent now. It's like that is such bullshit.
It is. It's like, just such.
Look outside your peripheral vision for once. There is. It is the most exciting time, I think, And those women just need to be given a chance because they are phenomenal performers. So,
and they'll get a lot of people
absolutely buying tickets just to see them. Exactly. And they'll win everybody over if they don't know who they are, like as soon as they see them perform. So, yeah, man, I just...
Well, I just to get a little bit off topic here for a moment, but Michelle also comes from a football background, which is obviously something that I'm super interested in, and that's been a big discussion about the AFLW of recent as well. So feeling it on both fronts, just the pure frustration, it's irritating, and you try to fight it as much as you can while being rational and calm and logical, and it just wears you down so hard.
Because the arguments are so illogical. And it's like, you know, women are always told that we're the ones that are not rational and we can't have logical conversations. And yet, and it's the same with the AFLW?
AFLW, sorry.
I know I've said WAFL before and that's like not the Western Australian. but it's just like, we're not the ones having the discussion that's completely irrational. Like, I see some of the comments that, to you or to people like Polly that I know you follow on Twitter as well. It's like, they're so ridiculous.
Yep.
And also it's like, it doesn't affect you. Like if you don't want to watch the women play,
don't watch it.
I don't understand. Just, it's so bizarre. Like, I don't understand where the defense is like, is coming from. Why are you getting so defensive? Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
The world is going to be okay. You don't have to watch women's football. You don't have to care about it at all.
No.
Why are you getting up, you know, all up in your feelings about this?
Yeah. And that goes back to, you don't like women playing music, don't fucking listen to it.
And if you think that, like, I mean, I think one of the arguments with festivals is they don't feel like they're going to sell tickets. And I think that's such a cop-out. I know when we did her Sound Her Story at Melbourne Music Week, we had an all-female lineup that sold out in a week. It was the only Melbourne Music Week show that sold out that particular year. And it sold out in a week.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, where is this any basis? Because you haven't done it before. So where is your basis for saying that women don't sell tickets? Like, that's such a cop-out.
It is.
As you can see, I'm very passionate about this. No, 100%. I get like, so angry.
This is something that Michelle and I bond on so hard.
Oh my God. It's like, it's just bullshit.
It
like,
is bullshit.
Like, if you're going to put up an argument, at least make it a valid argument. The problem is there is no valid argument.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel really sorry for, like, Camp Cope at the moment. I feel like they've just so been thrown under the bus with this particular topic because they've been so outspoken about it. But, like, their whole point was with Falls Festival was not about, like, half of the things that people were talking about. They were like, we could have been on the main stage quite easily. There's no argument there.
Yeah.
How could you argue with them that they could have easily been on the main stage?
They packed that tent out to the point where it was
overflowing.
Overfull, like, so OH&S like everything problems else, here.
Whatever the media spun that whole issue being about, they were saying they wanted a fair opportunity to be on the main stage. As women, they felt like that they weren't given that opportunity.
Yeah. And it's just the irony of it after they just released the opener and for that to happen, it was just like, learn this lesson? Well,
and the fact that Georgia changed the lyrics on like to suit exactly that topic was so, it was so incredible. I mean, like I heard the opener 2 weeks before her Sound Her Story previewed.
Yeah.
And I pulled over in the car, text Tomo. This is like literally the day that it was debuted, I text her and I said, we need this song for the documentary. What do we need to do? Because it just floored me because everything that they're talking about in that song is what the documentary is about. So, I was stoked that we got it.
Yeah. So good.
I was like, oh my God, this song, oh my God, it needs to be in the documentary. So yeah, super cool.
Heck yeah. Okay. We got a little bit off topic, but it was all relevant. Sorry. I think I managed to talk about football, so it's all good. So let's have a recap. East is great. This song is great.
She's amazing.
And we're going to have a listen to a little bit of it. This is Blowjob by East. Not too much. We don't talk. 'Cause you just need a blowjob.
Good night.
Michelle's last song is by someone who I interviewed a few weeks ago, and I'm wearing the same socks.
Lucky socks.
Lucky socks, because this artist took a photo of my socks to post on her social media.
That's so cool.
So what song are you talking about?
So this song is Angie McMahon, Missing Me.
Yes.
So I picked this song because, for a few reasons, I was seated next to Angie at the International Women's Day breakfast that I went to the other day, and I hadn't met Angie before, but I was aware of her because my really good friend, Tanya Batts, is good friends with her, and her boyfriend plays in the
drums
band.
For it,
drums. So there's obviously a very awesome connection there. And yeah, when I heard this, I had heard this song 2 days before meeting Angie and was just blown away. I think first of all, I was very surprised at, like, this is going to sound really weird, but she doesn't look like she sounds.
No, she doesn't. We talked about that. Yeah.
She's got this belting, like, mature, like, voice. And then she's this tiny little girl who's just, like, so sweet and adorable and, like, so lovely and a bit shy and, I was just like, whoa, like, I wasn't expecting that because I actually had no idea what she looked like. I hadn't looked up her social media or anything. So I think I had an image in my head. But she's so, so sweet and so lovely. And, so we plan to do a Her Sound, Her Story shoot really soon, which is really cool. So that's happening in a couple of weeks, which is great. Her manager is Charlotte, who I know really well, and this is such a legend. I think she's one of my favorite people in the whole industry. I love her so much. And she's Greta's manager as well. We're kind of sitting all together, and it was really great to have a chat and to get to know Angie. But when I heard this song, I was just floored. I just can't believe that these first two songs of hers are just like, so strong. I think she's going to have a really, really incredible year. So for me, this is completely really out of the genres that I really generally listen to. And like I was saying, there's particular songs that just hit me. I think another example is Bats. When I first heard Bats, For Me, that song of hers just floored me. And again, she's always like, you don't even like music like mine. I'm like, I know, I really don't like music like yours, but there's something about you and your voice. It's like quite incredible. And Angie is the same. It's definitely not the type of music that I listen to all the time, but you can't fault these songs. Like, they're just incredible.
Yeah. She's done this whole thing where she's being completely vulnerable but totally strong at the same time.
Totally strong.
In one song, and it's just like, dude, how? Like, just how? Like,
and again, like, because I'm like, I'm nearly 40, so I hate talking about young girls in this condescending way. It comes across, I don't mean it at all. It's just because to me, with someone that's 20 years younger than me is so young, but it's so inspiring. Like, I'm so inspired by these girls. They're just incredible.
Yeah.
Like, these are the people I want to be working with. It's so cool. So I hope it doesn't, when I say young or anything like that, it doesn't come across as patronizing or, you know, they haven't been around for very long or anything like that, because that's so the opposite of how I feel about them. So.
Yeah, I think the cool thing about Angie as well is that there are people that you just kind of root for because they're good people and you want them to do well.
Yeah.
And she's definitely one of those people. She does everything that she can right by everyone.
Yeah.
Is super talented and probably has an excuse to have an ego, and she just doesn't. She's just an absolute champ. And if you've not listened, I'd recommend going back and listening to the interview that I did with Angie a few weeks ago. I'll put the link in the show notes, or you can just go back on the subscription wherever you're listening. She's a super interesting person to listen to, and for someone who is, I think, 21 or something.
I think she might even be younger.
Potentially,
I'm not sure, but
we should ask
maybe
her.
Maybe it's because she looks so young too.
She's just she's like got an old head on her.
Yeah, and like an old soul. Especially it comes out in her writing for sure.
Yeah, and the way she speaks, she's really eloquent in the way she speaks most of the time as well, and that's obviously reflected in her songwriting. So I can't say a bad word about Angie. She's the best, and she likes my socks. So. I mean, we all win here.
Win-win.
Just so everyone knows, they're socks with pugs in hot dogs.
And I have pugs, so that, I mean, there I've got go. One pug and the other one looks like a pug, but just don't put them in hot dogs, though.
They look pretty cute in hot dogs, though.
Little buns. Actually, Jetta, who's not a pug but looks like a tiny little pug, would look so cute in a hot dog bun.
That's Michelle's next project.
Hugs and hot dogs. Look out for my book. No.
Okay, I think that's the perfect intro to Angie's song. Let's have a quick little listen to Missing Me by Angie Wuman. You better be missing me. Hey, you better be missing me. Hey, you better be missing me. Loving you is told me you have been my only rock on the ground. Now that I'm out of sight. Last song already. Can't believe it. Say it every time.
It's gone so quick.
I've become a broken record, haven't I? this is another one by an artist that I've spoken about previously on the podcast quite a while ago as well. And this was a song that maybe I didn't have total praise for the whole thing. I thought there were little things that could have improved, but it was just something about it that was in my head and I couldn't not talk about it. So it's really cool that this artist has taken the next step with the next single, and this single is just like incredible. And those little things that could have changed, now I don't have anything negative at all to say about this song. That's so
cool.
This is Magnetized by Essie Holt. It's just a big song and she's got a really great structure in it. And I think, yeah, the things that were lacking in the previous song, like the intro was a little bit too long and things like that, there's nothing about that here. This song is just a really great pop song.
Great.
And I flippin' love listening to it. I was really, grateful. Jess, who's Essie Holt, actually sent me a demo version of this song quite a little while before it was released, asking for my opinion
cool.
because she heard what I said about the previous one. And I wasn't trying to be degrading or anything to her with the way we spoke about the first one.
Yeah.
But she took it as constructive criticism.
That's so, I mean, that shows such a sign of maturity. That's so cool.
And I was so grateful that she didn't have any ill feeling toward me or anything. So I got to listen to the song through its phases and I just adore what she's done. Oh, and
that's so cool.
It's just such a great song to listen to. And you'd think that this is an artist that has been, this is similar to Angie in the respect that it's a second single, but it could be the 50th single. They've just kind of, they get it. So I'm really excited to be talking about it. Did you have a listen?
Yeah, I did. And like Essie, it's someone that I'm definitely aware of because I think we actually follow each other on Instagram. So I'm probably more aware of her visually than I have even been her music. So it was interesting to listen to the new single and I completely agree with you. But I don't think I knew the previous one. So I'm not sure, how much it's improved since then.
Yeah.
Like you, I can't really fault it. It's such a great track.
Yeah.
She's got a great look too. So, I've seen a lot of work that, Michelle, another photographer, a different Michelle has done with her, which is super cool.
Yeah.
Also
then they were quite similar, those photos to the Eve's Caritas songs that Michelle also,
photos.
Not songs. that Michelle also took. So
yeah, they've always got, like Michelle's stuff's got a lot of, a very fashion kind of edge to it. So,
yeah.
They suit particular artists in particular ways. So definitely suits Essie for sure.
Yeah. Cool. So let's listen to this really big pop song by Essie Holt. Cause I love it. This one's called Magnetize. We were, and so it hurts. And so it hurts. We're a little bit sad to be wrapping up so quick, but my voice probably isn't as sad as my brain is. Let's have a chat. What have you got coming up?
Yeah, so I guess the biggest thing for this year is the rollout of her Sound Her Story nationally, which is really great. So I think we can announce that. I'm going to announce it anyway.
Hopefully.
I think it's announced. Yeah, anyway, I'll just announce it. We're doing the premiere at the Human Rights Film Festival. Which is really cool. I think it's May the 12th from memory. It's definitely in May, which is great. So that'll be in Melbourne. And then I think there's a Canberra one as well. And then we'll do a rollout kind of nationally after that. So I think looks likely we'll be in Sydney in July. And then we're just kind of lining up a few possibilities for the end of the year, but we'll definitely be hopefully going to every state. And there's a lot of other stuff that we're doing kind of around it. There's a mentoring program that we're doing for young women photographers and filmmakers.
Amazing.
That we're really kind of passionate about getting young girls involved in the industry, because it's very similar to music. There's a real gender disparity in both photography and filmmaking as well. I think like the year's kind of, I feel like it's already booked up. Like we're talking about stuff, you know, right through the year. So I'm really excited for everybody to see it. It's, Claudia's done such a beautiful job in piecing together the story of, over 50 women that we spoke to.
Yeah.
So it's really a celebration. Like, I mean, it's women speaking their truth, but in an often very funny way.
Yeah.
The people that saw it at Face the Music, the feedback was just overwhelmingly positive, and that was both from men and women that saw it as well. I can't wait for everyone to see it, especially with this conversations that are happening around festivals and stuff like that. We kind of address all of that,
yep,
in quite a humorous way as well. So, yeah, I just want everyone to see it now.
I'm so excited to see it, honestly. Yeah. I was meant to go to the Face the Music screening and then things happened with my leg, but you know how
it's hard sometimes with those conferences and stuff as well. It's like you got a million things as well, but yeah.
Sick.
You'll get to see it soon, which is great.
We'll when there's any news on that, we'll share that across our socials as well. We've been keeping everyone up to date with it.
Yeah, we can just go to hersoundherstory.com and you can actually sign up for a newsletter that basically as soon as it's all in, we just do a big blast to say this is what we've locked in.
So everyone that's the other option. That.
Yeah.
Please.
Cool.
I just wanted to kind of end with a shout out to Rat Hammock. We've spoken about them a few times, but they're such a good band. And I went, that's why my voice is how it is. I went, I did merch for them last night at their Melbourne show. They've been touring with Tiny Little Houses. Ooh. And, doing a whole bunch of cool stuff. They've got a new manager on board who's incredible. So I just wanted to give them a shout out for just being excellent.
Great.
Everyone go and listen to them because, yeah, they're going to really go places this year based on the people that I saw at the show last night as well. So I wanted to thank Michelle for coming along.
Thanks
on
for
Good Friday,
yeah,
public
no
holiday,
worries.
And drinking out of a Swan's mug because she has no choice.
Oh, yeah. I don't have really any allegiances to football anymore because I feel like because I worked in AFL for 4 years, I've got footballed out and now I just completely really detached from it. So Swans are cool for me. It's totally fine. I'm just like, whatever.
If anyone does care about what I think about football, I do have a football podcast that I do with my brother that can be quite humorous at times because Alexander's funny, not because I'm funny. So that's called Play on an AFL podcast. So have a listen to that if you're interested. Also, The Spiel, follow us, all that jazz, Twitter, Facebook, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, you know, the deal. And thanks to Yamaha again for their sponsorship.
Legends. So cool.
Yes.
Yay, Yamaha. I used to have a Yamaha Electone back in the day. That was my instrument of choice. Most people won't know what that is. You should Google it because it's hilarious. And I studied that instrument for like 10 years. It's pretty good at it too back in the day.
Might use that as a little sponsorship ad in between next episodes now.
My God, if you actually can see what a Yamaha Electone, you will laugh so hard. But anyway, I was a big nerd.
I'm going to share pictures of it on the Twitter.
Yes, definitely. I have to share a video of someone playing it because it's actually an incredible instrument, but someone really good playing it would be hilarious. I'm going to do that. YouTube clip on Twitter.
Amazing. So we'll wrap it up here. Our outro music is Coffee by Arcadia. Link to that is also in the bio, in the show notes. Words. Hopefully my voice is back for the next episode.